You know, it was just sad because we knew what was going on in residential schools and what the priests and the nuns were doing.
We all knew they were there. It's just now we have the official number. Now we have proof.
You beat you up any chance they got.
You do not care about the mass murder, the mass rape, the mass genocide!
Of us experienced kids disappearing. We'd ask each other, where did so-and-so go? And we sort of realized that, you know, there is something dangerous and bad about the boarding schools. When we were at the Alberni Indian Residential School, we had to surrender to whatever the supervisors demanded of us. Don't speak our language, don't sing any songs. They even said, don't write home. It was a very oppressive, destructive schooling. They beat you up any chance they got. We had the most notorious of the supervisors who molested countless boys, and I was molested by him once, I remember that. And yes, it was sexually very depraving, I could call it, you know. So when we left the boarding school, we had no identity, or we didn't belong in this world. So we left the boarding school, went to East End, Vancouver, and drank ourselves to death. Grandpa said that. You go up there to be quiet. You go up there to meditate and pray. I didn't know why, but now I'm realizing at 81, he meant that I will find myself. And that's what these kids have done. My people are here peacefully. Some of the police are prone to violence, and they love violence. And I think that love of violence has only done to our young people retrenched and strengthened our values, and we ain't going nowhere. So have a good evening and supper time.
Yes. Consider what it would be like to have strangers come into your home, kick down your door, rip your children out of it, and to never see them again. You're proud to be part of a group that helped to genocide hundreds of nations. Everyone says Canada is so nice and polite, but it's all under the surface. No one within the Indigenous communities is shocked. We all knew they were there. It's just now we have the official number. Now we have proof. The genocide that the RCMP took part in, they would go to the homes alongside the priests. They would knock on the doors or kick them in. They would arrest the men, beat the women, and steal the children.
You know, it was just sad because we knew what was going on in residential schools and what the priests and the nuns were doing and like how many children were being killed. I got news that they found 751 children. And I just felt it. And I called my mom and she said, my girl, they found 751 on our reserve. So those are my relatives.
These lands have never been bought or sold to the crown. Meaning you, as settlers, you do not care about the mass murder, the mass rape, the mass genocide. We've actually sacrificed our beautiful car to be a part of a hard block. Now that red dress, first of all, symbolizes the missing and murdered Indigenous women and men and children that go missing. When we try to tell the government system about what happened, they would blatantly laugh in our face. They would say that we are liars. We put our bodies on the line because these trees can't.
Couldn't breathe properly because they're on top of me. And they're on my chest, so it's completely wrong because it's my own land. So it's not even, they're just taking me, physically taking me off of this.
They don't know they're humiliating a person. They're depriving their own sensitivities, lowering her into a non-human state and destroying the humanity in themselves. And of all things, I can't remember how to say, pack the wood in or go get a bucket of water. Simple child stuff. They're like Wastuakhak. That's, where are you going? Wasakhak was, where have you been?
In the residential school, what would happen if the teachers caught you talking in your language?
Usually in your hand the first time, and that really hurt with a, I don't know what it was. It was a stiff leather strap, kind of like a bludgeon or something like that. And then the second time you got much the same, but more count, bigger count. And then the third time you would get strapped, you would be on your bum, bare bum. You have to lean over. Then on the fourth time, you would get strapped in front of the boys in your dorm. The federal government are starting to realize that their separationist, racist policies are now working against them, because a lot of First Nations are starting to realize, hey, I'm a person. I'm Pachidat, or I'm Gitskan, I'm Wet'suwet'en. We are pushing ideas that we are part of this earth. We are people who seek and find our own spiritual freedom in a forest that logging companies don't want us to have.
We don't have much of the old growth left. There's like so many species in the ocean that are dying, you know, they're becoming extinct. And I have children, you know, my children will be mothers and give birth to other generations. And, you know, thinking about 100 years from now, what would be left?
Settler and colonial people, wherever they go, they extract and they take and they take and they don't care. They have no relationship to the land, and they make us dependent off of their land extractions. And then they say, oh, this is on your land, we'll pay you money.
In other words, industry is in denial. That denial system has been filtered down to our chief and to our local Indigenous politics. And so that is what I'm trying to tell my chief and council, but they're all thoroughly brainwashed.
So it's really comes down to, you know, the benefits of forest resources today. 15 years ago, we had no say whatsoever in the forest industry, no revenue coming out of the territory. Today, that's slowly changing. It's getting the correct information on how much old growth is left in the territory, I think, is the first move. And letting the people, the rightful owners of the territory, decide how much logging is going to take place in the territory. Not anybody else than like the rainforest group, right? They're here to, you know, stop old growth logging, all old growth logging.
I know from within my own community, the agreements that are made with forestry or resource extraction, it basically keeps the carrots dangling over the people.
In the end, our land, it's raped, you know, and like that's like why I'm here.
peoples would say, this is our land, you know. It was never ours, like a personal thing that we can own. So we are caretakers of this land.
We have to love our earth. We have to love our mother. And when we do that, we wind up loving one another.
You're under arrest.
We're dealing with a militarized force as unarmed, peaceful civilians.
They'll use intimidation, they'll use threats, and they will like continue to just harass, right? It's all designed to wear us down.
They don't want us to be sovereign. They don't want us to make our own decisions for our communities.
The genocide never stopped. The oppression never ended.
Our boarding schools were systematically geared to letting us die. They were the death squad of the First Nations in Canada.
At least they're found, you know. At least they can be buried properly and that ceremony can be held for them so that they can go home, you know.
Coming out of seven generations of illness, of abuse, and we are that generation. We are those rainbow people, those that are to break those cycles. I'm here to heal and protect the earth, and whether you know the government likes it or not.
If we save, and when we save Fairy Creek, this world will start saving its soul. I think that's about it.